Welcome to another edition of Lodging on Demand. In this episode, Lodging Editor-in-Chief Dennis Nessler discusses the hotel management landscape with a pair of longtime hotel executives, Tom Lewerson, President of Coral Tree Hospitality, and James Hansen, Chief Development Officer at OTH Hotels and Resorts. They discuss a number of factors impacting operations, such as rate management, technology upgrades, and creating the right culture.
Hi, this is Dennis Nessler, Editor-in-Chief of Lodging Magazine. I'm here today with two industry experts to talk a little bit about operating strategies. Tom Lewerson, President of Coral Tree Hospitality, and James Hansen, Chief Development Officer for OTH Hotels and Resorts. How you doing, gentlemen?
Great, Dennis. Thanks for having us on today. Good to see you all as well. James, glad to be hosting with you today.
Yeah, same, Tom. Good to see you. And Dennis, thanks for putting this together. Appreciate it.
That's my pleasure. So when we talk about operating strategies and the operating environment, I guess the first thing that probably comes to mind would be costs, increasing costs kind of across the board, whether it's insurance or labor or what have you. So maybe just give us a 30,000 foot view of kind of what the feel is right now from an operating standpoint. Tom, you want to start?
Yeah, happy to do so. I'd rather talk more about fun things than cost containment and cost controls. But it is a Dennis and James, you know, it's a part of the business that we're in. So, you know, we always tighten the belt as we see uncertainty in revenues. Everyone has to be agile. So I think, you know, the issue here is expense management, not the cost of either team culture or obviously the guest experience. And how do you tighten that belt per se and improve your margins in the uncertainties of revenues? And, you know, today we have our friend called Mr. Technology that helps us. Obviously a big part of our expense model is the labor area. And so how do we manage productivity in a very increased cost of doing business marketplace? Benefits, healthcare, well-being cost, all those things, obviously wages increasing. So to us, we're using technology to see where there's opportunities to outsource functions that can be more streamlined and efficient. We're looking at scheduling, as we always do in these areas. We're saving 15 minutes or 30 minutes in a restaurant outlet or a spa operation or in a golf course when you've got, you know, tens of employees working. That can be helpful. So it gets into the details of that. You know, our consumables and controllables, things like food costs, beverage costs, linen costs, laundries, sundries, you know, how can we procure more efficiently, buy smarter, use volume and scale to our advantages, and then also manage the waste. And, you know, there's a two-pronged approach there, both the sustainable component, as well as the cost side of it. So we're doing that in our sundries. We're doing that in our food waste. We're using food waste from group events and building composting and doing things like that that are efficient. We're using our partners in business, as everyone should. That's the vendors and the procurement services and our technology friends on how to sharpen all of our edges. So it's a little bit of what we expect, but sometimes in strong markets, you know, we get more focused on top line and we're obviously always focused in on guest services. But so it's a good environment to keep all of our skill sets as sharp as they need to be. And I'm happy with what we're doing. And I think there's still uncertainty in the economic conditions. So we're going to have to continue to do that. We just can't do anything to compromise the service or the team culture. That's the tricky part of it all.
Yeah, sure. I definitely want to dive in a little more on a technology piece in a little bit. James, how about your thoughts?
Yeah, I would reiterate a lot of what Tom has brought up already. And I think there's a couple of significant points that jumped out to me. And I know we're taking advantage of it here at OTH, which is number one, I'd say the operational efficiencies. It's never a bad time to revisit, if you will, when labor costs are rising so much, of exactly how you're operating in those efficiencies. Specifically, when you look at optimizing your staffing levels, implementing those technology solutions, so to help with simple tasks, what we think are simple tasks like reservation and check-in process. But one of them that we do quite regularly and have training on it is what we like to call our cross-training. So using the labor that you have and sort of training and educating your team members and your human capital to be able to do multiple job roles, so that as labor costs continue to rise, you can get the benefit of having an individual, whether it's a back of the house or front of the house team member, be able to do multiple job roles within that hotel. So a lot of efficiencies can happen that way. So we do put some serious resources and some significant investment into the human capital side of that. Second part to that technology piece, which as you allude to, Dennis, we'll get into a bit more, but simple things like mobile apps that can be applied for guest service, automation solutions for things like maintenance and housekeeping. As costs continue to rise, you have to find unique ways to leverage technology, not only for cost savings and value, but also to the benefit of the guest side, the guest facing. So as expenses rise, one thing we cannot sacrifice, and I appreciate that Tom brought that up first and foremost, is that the guest experience not only has to continue to be great, but finding out ways to continue to improve that guest experience. So rising costs are always going to be there, like the seas, they rise. We've got to be, as operators, owners and operators here, figure out a way to be efficient with it, but not at the sacrifice of guest services and quality.
Hey, sure. Dennis and James, I would add just a kind of an interesting twist that we don't talk about too much, and that's more of the asset preservation, things that are not necessarily in the consumables, like property insurance and taxes and utilities. We're seeing a lot of companies now, like we are, which are buying futures on, yeah, on the utilities so we can lock in prices. Insurance, if you can afford to go to a self-insurance, we've seen unprecedented across the country, to the point where they're trying to legislate what's going on with property insurances, casualty, general liability. Again, some of the less sexy things to talk about in our industry, but they're real when you're running hundreds of millions of dollars of assets. So those are types of things that we can be looking at too. And then you're always looking at your capital spending, making sure that you're putting your capital in what protects the asset, and or what improves the experience. And if you can afford to strategically defer those things or deploy them differently, that's another way to manage in a downward trough, if you will.
Yeah. Tom, in terms of rate, we know that rate actually grew for several years following COVID. Is that still the case? Are you still seeing the ability to push rate?
We're past these periods of the last 36 months where there was year over year, month over month, weekend after weekend leisure demand that was pushing rates so high. So, now we're back into dynamic pricing again and really testing our industry skills and revenue management, total revenue management, dynamic pricing. How do we lever? And I think that's the fun part of our business. I love it when we don't have to do that so much because demand is great and we can just keep getting great rates, but we know that that just doesn't happen consistently. So we're certainly in a tapering off. I'd be careful not to use the word downward spin. I don't think that's the case. I think we're into this normalizing that we have been wondering when that was going to occur. So when we saw the Feds beginning to manage inflation and take rates up, that was effective when you look at our GDP and what's happened there. So good things have occurred there, but we were all impacted by that. But now I think we're back into a more normalized market going forward. And we were all about leisure for 3 years, and group is now back in the forefront. And we've got to balance that out with the appropriate yielding and dynamic pricing.
Yeah. Go ahead, Jeff.
Tom, I agree with your sentiment. This is the fun part, at least for someone like me who came up through the sales and revenue side of hotel operating. I get excited when we have the opportunity to actually do some yield management and revenue optimization. But to your point, I think it's also very market driven, at least speaking to our portfolio, a lot of Southeast, a lot of Mid-Atlantic, and moving out to Texas. We're in some pretty dynamic markets that are still seeing some some rate growth, albeit not at the same clip for the last 30, 36 months. So I think we have to get back to some old school revenue optimization, revenue management, if you will. It's very important, and I know it's something that our team does, our in-house revenue leaders. We have to get back to doing market analysis again and really looking, because we were fed so much, as you, to your point, so much leisure business that it was kind of, for a while, name your price, right? That leisure traveler was going to pay it. But as we get back to doing things like dynamic pricing, which if your hotels are not doing that, they need to be, or getting back to that as soon as possible.
We talked a little bit about technology. I guess maybe just to kind of flesh that out a little bit. You know, has how you communicate with the guests changed? I know that there's a lot of you see a lot of texting now going on, you know, on site, just texting the guests directly with issues or responses to maybe inquiries or whatever. I guess maybe, James, talk a little bit about how that's changed in terms of what the guest expects from a technology standpoint.
Yeah, I would say it's on par with everything else in their life. Everybody's being fed technology and data, and everything is instant gratification. So it's not that different when you are pre-arrival coming to one of our hotels. We are sending the messages in advance and wanting to understand what the expectation is from that guest prior to arrival. Some guests, or I should say many now, really truly embrace that, whether it's the business traveler who has certain needs for a reservation at a restaurant that's on site at the hotel, or other accommodations for their room types. So we have fully embraced it, and we just feel that the more communicating with the guests, certainly in advance, but at the time that we have them captured, they're on site at the hotel or resort, better opportunity for us to deliver. And so it's meeting and exceeding their guest expectations. They fully embraced, and I would say it's more than just the, you know, the apps and the texting back and forth through hotel generated apps. It's all about the communication component of that and the technology that's readily available while they're on site at the hotel. It's a given that every hotel should and does have great Wi-Fi service, and the connectivity in the rooms needs to be, you know, better than what they experience, as good or not, if not better than what they experience in the comfort of their own home. And the connectivity for our guest rooms with the TV connection, they want to be able to put their device, whether it's Netflix or whatever app they so choose, to be able to connect directly, be productive while they're in the room. So their connectivity from their mobile device, their laptop, this has all become the standard and norm. So the reality is, how can we exceed that from the expectation? So we take the extra steps, you know, providing best-in-class internet access throughout any spaces in the hotel, having technology experts on site. So if they're experiencing any sort of issue they need support with, they can call on somebody, whether it's front desk, concierge, valet, whomever it is that they engage with in the lobby area. They're tech experts, if you will. It's the geek squad of the hotel. So it's become almost the expectation and norm. And I feel that you have to deliver, but finding the unique ways to exceed those expectations is really the differentiator for those guests to be able to take that stay from great to extraordinary.
Yeah, James, I'll jump in on that. You said that really well. And it doesn't stop, right? I mean, so the technology, it's the easier thing to talk about it in my mind as how we operate our businesses. Yes, we have text platforms that communicate to the pre-arrival and the farewell experiences. We've got things that now we can, just like you can at home, or an Uber Eats at your residence, you can now do the same thing in your resorts and have a similar concept where it's just a key entry and something comes to you immediate. So that's one part of the business. But the other one is, you know, how do you create comfort, right? You know, what are you doing in the environments? You know, we've got a hotel in Lake Nona, it's called the Wave Hotel. You know, we've got product on the skin of the building, meaning the exterior walls. That is a 25-story building. It's called View Glass, where it's managing. There's a panel, the equivalent of a floor-to-ceiling window panel. That's a smart panel that is managing the ultraviolet rays coming in from the sun, so that the guest comfort is calibrated to your liking, different at a much more acute level than what a thermostat control can do. It's at a great expense to do something special. It's where you can lay bedside in your room, and while you're working, while you're watching television, whatever it may be, you can, you know, do the drapes, you can order room service, you can have you know, audio voicing, like you were talking to a Google Nest or an Alexa product, where I can now just call the valet by just talking about verbally in the guest room from my bedside about a service that I need. So to me, all those things are about how do we make the guest experience better.
Some closing thoughts in terms of maybe what's the one thing that concerns you going forward from an operational standpoint? What's the one thing that you're looking at, or maybe even the one trend in a positive way that you think is going to impact things going forward? James, you want to start?
Sure. I appreciate that. And thanks again, both of you, for the time. I'm going to speak more towards what we're doing to be proactive, to do a couple of things. And one of them is focus on enhancing guest satisfaction in today's market, because as we continue to talk about the things, that are, whether it's rate growing or labor and operational costs increasing, one thing that we cannot jeopardize is the hospitality side of what we do. And that's delivering a great guest experience, making a memorable stay, all those fuzzy keywords and key phrases. That's what we have to do. So a couple of points I'd add that OTH is really hyper-focused on our hotels and resorts. And we think this is going to be key to, defending against when there might be a potential downturn in some markets or demand drops a little bit, how you can significantly offset that. First thing would be personalization. What you would experience at any one of our hotels or resorts is a personalized experience. So we go out of the way to make sure that not one guest that comes to and stay in one of our hotels has the same experience. It's personalized to what that individual is looking for, whether it's an individual business traveler, group stay, or a family on a leisure stay for a weekend or a week. And how we do that is leveraging, to the point Tom brought up earlier, is leveraging technology, finding out pre-arrival what they're into, knowing about their stay history, leveraging that to make each experience not only unique but personalized to that guest, because we find that personalization right there could be and often is the differentiator between choosing our hotel or the other branded hotel or independent right down the street. So personalization would be number one. Second one I'd bring up is creating authentic experiences. And in this day and age of duplicity and streamlining of everything, including branding, we feel, at least within our resorts and our hotels, that authentic experience is what we do, not only great, but differentiates us from many of our competitors in our markets.
Yeah, it's hard to even add much to that, because James' focus is really touching on all the right things in my view. And we have similar like business philosophies, I think. For me, I maybe take a slight tour down a different path, and that would be to be focused in on the talent. I just think in a world where we lean heavy toward the independent dentists, where we want each of our hotels, our resorts, our residences, experiences to be very customized. They're very personal. Each location is different. We don't have the same SOPs for each hotel and each resort, each residence. We customize them at the property level to meet the experience. But you can build anything, right? That's money and vision and the right resources, professional services. It's how do you deliver it? And that's got to come through our team. And so I always say culture first. Most of my energy is focused in on that, is creating a culture where people can come as they are, deliver great things that creates relationships with the guest, and then do it in harmony with building and creating innovative, fun places where the guests want to come. And I just believe it's nothing new. It's what we've been doing in this industry forever. It's just more and more competitive. So those that do it, and we're in an industry that's commoditized, right? If you're a global brand, you've got somewhere between 25 and 35 brands within your umbrella brand. And at least at CoralTree, our initiative is to carefully thread the needle. Those firms and companies, the Marriotts and Hiltons and the Intercons, the Hyatts, they're world-class companies, all prof to them. Our little agenda is to find a way in a little niche, create something very personal and unique that somebody wants to remember and tell people about. It's that simple. And we do that with the people that deliver the guest experience. That's our front desk, that's our housekeepers, that's our landscape team, our engineers, and that's where our energy is going to be focused in. And I think those that see that will see the greatness of our industry and will continue to be successful in what they're doing.
Great. Very good. Thank you so much, both of you guys, for your thoughts and on many insights today. I appreciate it, and have a great day.
Thanks, Dennis. James, good to see you.
Good to see you, Tom.
Thank you for listening to Lodging on Demand. If you would like more content like this, please subscribe to Lodging Magazine on YouTube. You can also subscribe to Lodging on Demand wherever you get your podcasts. For news and updates, follow at Lodging Magazine on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, and X. Or visit us at lodgingmagazine.com.